This week's show is supported by Signature Studio. And I use this myself. If you ever get an email from me, that email signature, it's all Signature Studio. Think about how many emails you send every single day. Each of them an opportunity to compound an impression, tell your story, and position yourself in the minds of the people who matter most. Most people waste this opportunity with a name, maybe a phone number. Signature Studio lets you build an email signature that works for you, featuring live testimonials, your latest podcast episode, a booking link with Calendly, or a rotating banner that stays fresh long after you hit send. It takes minutes to set up, works with Gmail, Outlook, and Apple Mail, and you need no design skills. Your inbox is the most under-leveraged channel in your business. Signature Studio fixes that. Start building for free today at signaturestudio.me.
Welcome to Building Your Leader Brand. Today on the show, Bob is speaking with Mike Morrison.
The closer that the simulated experience becomes to the human one, the more important it is for you to separate yourself from that. And the recognition that content is so over-commoditized now, you need something else about you. You need the human part. You need to show up. You need to have built that trust in the way in which you go about your business. And you need to integrate community and personalization into the learning experience itself.
Hi there, and welcome back to Building Your Leader Brand. My name is Bob Gentle, and every week I speak to incredible people who share their secrets to building, marketing, and monetizing their expertise and the mindset you need for your business to grow and thrive. If you're new to the show, then while you still have that device in your hand or wherever you listen to this podcast, take a second to follow the show. That way you won't miss a single thing. So, how to introduce this week's guest? This week's guest is very well known to the show, Mike. Welcome, Sir Mike, Lord Mike. I can't remember which it was last time.
Technically, I'm a lord. Yeah, I got one of those, you know, the things where you can buy one square centimetre of land in Scotland. I was gifted one of those as a wedding favour for being in a wedding party. So technically, I'm a lord, although it would be embarrassing to ever put that on any paperwork.
So, Lord Mike of memberships, welcome to the show. I saw a LinkedIn post from you the other day, and to the observing guest, they'll recognize, hey, wasn't Mike just here a few months ago? This is a bit quick for a return guest. Well, Mike and I had a side conversation at Atomicon a few months ago. He told me he was going to do something ridiculous. He's now done something ridiculous. That's what we're going to talk about today. But the LinkedIn post that I saw was that the average membership owner, and this is the average, not every, generates about $130,000, I think it was dollars a year in terms of income. Now, some people might look at that and think it's a little. Some people might think of it as a lot. But whatever it is, it's a significant number. And I wanted to, A, borrow into that a little bit, but also look at, you've made a big change in your business, your business model, and I want to, A, celebrate that, and B, play with it, because it's very exciting.
No, it's great to be back on and to actually be able to talk about this stuff. You were quite possibly, no, you actually were the first person that I told about this, because I was obviously at the event with our head of growth. We'd just kind of decided on this a couple of weeks prior, and I was sworn to secrecy. And of course, because I was sworn to secrecy, the first person I got into a conversation with at Atomicon, which was yourself, found out all about it. So,
and I told everyone.
There we go. No, perfect.
So I know lots of people who, I'm going to say lots, I know two or three people who occupy the similar space to you, and I know how they do business. And gatekeeping doesn't even come close to describing how those businesses typically operate. And one of the things I've always loved about your business is it's always been very accessible. And what you were describing to me was, you're not just going to be accessible, you're going to blow the gates off entirely.
Oh, yes.
What have you done?
So, yeah, we had long since been developing this signature program that was part of our membership. We call it the membership roadmap. The first iteration came in 2016, and we kind of based it on the idea of we want to have, give people step by step the guidance to support the training, the correct tools, all the way from having that acorn of an idea to launching a membership and then beyond that. And that's a pretty standard, you know, modus operandi for a membership that teaches memberships, right? But we wanted to create that definitive framework. And really, the work that started on that in 2016 kind of came to a zenith in 2021 when we kind of bit the bullet, because we've been kind of trying to find a version we were comfortable giving people inside a membership site that was costing $50 a month. While other people in the space, when you talk about gatekeeping, they were selling these really in-depth but really expensive courses for $2,000, $3,000. And so we always had that thing where we couldn't possibly put a $2,000 level course into a $50 a month membership. And we kind of tried to find ways around that. Okay, well, what can we do? And ultimately, we had the decision back in 2020 where we said, you know what? No, we're just going to create this epic, in-depth, the perfect course on memberships, and we'll give it to our Academy members for their regular price, $49 a month back then. And so that's what we did. It was well received. It helped so many people launch their memberships. And to me, that was the bold move. You know, our competitors, hey, they're selling a course that's inferior to ours and they're going to charge you $2,500. You can get this exceptionally valuable thing for just $50 a month. And we were fine with that. We were happy with that. That was a big part of what drove people to our membership. But of course, the world of online learning has changed. The membership market and industry has matured in such a significant way, largely prompted on by COVID and the societal changes that caused, which created the perfect environment for memberships to become a lot more mainstream. And then obviously the rise of AI has led to such a commoditization of content that has created a glut of bad advice. A lot of other people in the membership space who are selling programs and a lot of other gatekeepers. And it's just becoming harder and harder, we felt, for someone who wants to start a solid, like, sustainable membership business to actually get the advice that they need. And I think it's harder to make a decision on what to invest in. So even though we knew we had this program inside Membership Academy, cutting through the noise and getting that to people when there's so much free stuff out there, it didn't matter that the free, like, people don't know what they don't know. They don't yet have the knowledge to assess the quality of the knowledge, right? Dunning-Kruger syndrome applied to e-learning. And so it started with a wouldn't it be crazy if kind of idea. I like to have the no bad idea brainstorming meetings. Like, what if we just gave the roadmap away and there was a laugh and then the laugh continued and then the laughing stopped? And we kind of said, but what if we did? Like, just hypothesize. And that, of course, snowballed. I think that idea was just fragmented in my brain. What if we did something that was potentially suicidal for the business because we're giving away this epic thing that was such a crown jewel of our membership, and we're just going to give that away to people? And so that's what we've done. It needed updating. You know, it was launched in 2021. Times change, things change. You're wanting to bring it up to date. That was going to happen anyway to coincide with the 10th anniversary of Membership Academy. And then we just decided, you know what, we're not just going to update it for those paying members. We're going to give this brand new version to everybody, completely free. No teaser, no sample, no first module free, but pay for the rest. Not a watered down version or take the key points into a webinar and then tell people, hey, if you want the full experience, we're going to give it all the workbooks, all the templates, all the resources, the full lessons, the full shebang, completely free. And the more we thought about that, the more it just made sense on so many levels. It's the right thing, I feel, to do, to take the online membership space in the direction I feel it needs to go in. And that is being rooted away from snake oil salesmen with half-baked programs, because we're seeing so many people following bad advice, investing their time, their energy, their effort into starting a membership that should never have been, you know, it's the wrong idea. It wasn't validated, but they were encouraged to rush into it because the person who wants you to invest $2,000 in their course has convinced you that you're, well, you just start a membership. Just start a membership now. Just get your first member. Great. But what about your second member? What about your third? What about your 20th? What about your 100th? And so I kind of feel as one of the originators of the online membership space, like the early evangelists for it when we start in 2015, I feel, and I've been feeling with our 10th anniversary, this responsibility to the space, I suppose, to shepherd it through its next phase, dealing with AI and, you know, dealing with the shifts in the industry as things kind of settle down from COVID. So the way that I figured that is best to do that is by giving everybody my absolute best work completely free with no catch, no fancy funnel, and really just a mission behind it to help 10,000 new memberships get started within the next year. And that's what I'm hoping to do.
So there's a lot to pull out of that. And I think one of the things that really stands out for me, we were speaking before we hit recording and you were telling me that people often come to you because they want to start a membership, but actually your dream client is somebody who has a membership.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And one of the things I pay attention to, I mean, you'll be familiar with this whole idea of the marketing funnel, top of funnel, you need to get attention. Middle of funnel, you're talking about a bit of due diligence and a bit of interest. Mm-hmm. Bottom of the funnel, we're talking offers and things like that. That tends to lead to very transactional businesses. And when I'm speaking to clients, if it's the right client, they'll be receptive to this. I try and reframe it for them in terms of at the top of the funnel, we want to focus on mission. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the funnel, there will be a match if the mission resonates. And if that all works, the money takes care of itself. And what I like about what you're doing there is this is about mission for you. This is about making membership owners and hard pivot into the old cliche of people won't remember what you told them, but they will remember how you made them feel. And you're beginning every relationship with a potential client from a position of tremendous generosity, solving a problem without anything in return.
Yeah.
And that sets the direction of travel in a relationship quite profoundly and profoundly differently from your competitors, which I love.
Well, absolutely. And you know, of course, as, again, that's kind of almost self-appointed defender of the online membership space. Like I don't take issue with competitors in my space. I did for a little while. You know, because we drove this market, we drove this space from 2015. We had it to ourselves. And so when other people started cropping up, there was a little bit of that trepidation, even though, of course, I've been in the world of business long enough to know that competition is not a threat. It's actually a positive. A lack of competition is more of a red flag more often than not. But I do just take issue with people who I see peddling harmful advice. And coupled with the way in which the membership world has developed, you can't just be ordinary. You really can't. Memberships aren't a novel anymore, aren't a novelty anymore. It's not like it was even back in 2018, 2019, where just having a membership was enough. The fact that all this stuff's in a membership, wow, isn't that incredible? Cool, I can get all this training, all these resources for a low price. People are accustomed to that now. People take that for granted. So you need to do even more to rise above the crowd. And this next decade is going to be defined by AI. And for business, and particularly knowledge transfer businesses, which most memberships are, that represents a major shakeup. And so most of the advice that's out there in the world about memberships that people are getting in the formative stages is at best outdated and generic. At worst, it's directly damaging. And I'm in a position where I can do something about it. There's a lot of stuff in the world I can't do anything about. This is something I can do something about. And I can take that risk. I mean, entrepreneurship is risk, right? I can take that risk because heck, the big risk when this went live is every single member inside my paying membership was like, wow, goody, I can get the main thing that I like for free. Thankfully, not one single person has left the academy. The risk is people do this and then everyone decides, hey, I'm not going to start a membership because it's a lot of work, because it is, and I don't hold back from that. I think in some of the first lessons, I warn you, like, this is work. Like, this is a business. It takes work to build. So it's a lot of risk, but I can shoulder that risk. And what it does do is it does create, hopefully, more memberships that will be here in 10 years' time. We've just marked, we're maybe about 6 days away. I'm pretty sure it was the 27th of August, 2015, we launched. About 6 days away from when we very first opened the doors to Membership Academy, like 10 years ago. And coming up to that 10th anniversary, it's made me really introspective, but also it's made me recognize there are memberships inside my community that are almost as old as mine. They joined day one, they launched their memberships a couple of months later, and they've been around ever since. There are memberships in there that are older than mine. Some of the clients that we first worked with that brought us into the world of memberships, they are still thriving right now. So you now have very mature membership businesses. It's not just the industry. You have memberships that are in their second decade of existence. And those are the people who aren't being served by what's out there. Like, there is not a blog article that addresses that market. There's no training really that addresses that. And when you look in that time frame, in just 10 years, I've been saying it all along, but this really kind of hit it home for me. You know, launching a membership, that's the starting pistol, not the finish line. Like, if you work and you put together a course and you get the course out there into the world, so much of the heavy lifting has been done. You then have a product and it's just a case of flogging it, right? But with a membership, it is day one when you launch your membership. It's not the completion of anything, it's the start of something. And the process to launch, you can be, I mean, technically I could have a membership launched before we finish this conversation from a mechanical point of view. But to do things right, that process, ideally you're looking at 3 month ramp up. 3 months out of 10 years is a minuscule part of that journey, but it's also the most essential. It's that first brick in the wall. And so if I help people lay that brick on solid ground, then I can be here for them for the remaining, you know, 9 years and 9 months of their journey and beyond that. So it is, of course, just shifting kind of the ideal client profile for the Membership Academy and making sure that the stuff that up until now, that initial formative education that people were able to get for free, which has just been blog posts, has just been podcast episodes, we're just really raising the bar on that of like, you know what, the free bit is the bit that's going to do the most important part of the process. It's going to give you a membership site. And then we're here.
So I would like to speak about AI a little bit, because as you were thinking, I was having some ridiculous ideas. And one of the reflections was, you know what? I could probably pull together a course on how to build a membership in under 30 minutes. Mm. So could anybody else.
Yeah.
And
the irony is most of that material, the AI would have been trained on my blog posts, because yes, we've been some of the most prolific content creators. I do have that thing, I'll chat to AI and kind of think, that sounds familiar. That really sounds like me. Wow. It's, no, of course it sounds like me. It's regurgitating my content. Anyhow.
Well, my observation is, in a world where information is available to anybody, mm-hmm, what becomes valuable is a trusted companion, a trusted curator, a trusted wayfinder. Mm. And I think this is why this matters. Because I think AI is important, but it's more important for experts than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I use AI every day, and I use it when a client has a gap in their workflow. Mm-hmm. I can use AI to as a point of leverage, mm-hmm, as a force multiplier. But I know when I look at the output, that's wrong,
yeah,
or that needs to be nuanced. specifically for this use case. My client could have asked whichever AI tool it was the same question, but they wouldn't have the discernment as to whether what they were being provided for was fit for purpose. Yeah. I think this is where somebody like you adds not just a little bit of value to your course, but it's a disproportionate amount of value, because now you know this is a path worth walking. It's not just a random map.
Exactly. And you know, the fact that someone can get that tailored action plan and that tailored course from ChatGPT or Claude or wherever faster than they can log into your membership or your course platform. And so if you kind of consider speed of access to information as a potential friction point for why would someone ask you rather than ask ChatGPT, if you eliminate the quality, because again, they don't know, they don't have the discernment that an expert does. So that's not a friction point. Your customer's not necessarily saying, I'll go and ask Bob, because if they're starting without that established trust of and knowledge of who you are, then I'll say, I'm going to go and speak to this person because I know their materials better. They don't know the difference. They don't know the difference. And then if you throw cost in there, so if you already have that friction point of speed of access, speed and ease, and then you throw in the fact that, well, you also need to pay for the thing that's a little bit slower, then there is more friction to knowledge trading than there's ever been. And I think the trusted voice behind it is more important than it's ever been. I think not just for, you know, the veracity of the content, but also because it's getting harder to tell what is real. It's getting harder. I mean, LinkedIn now, you mentioned LinkedIn before, 90% of my feed is people talking about how good they are detecting whether someone else is using ChatGPT. Like, the discourse has become focused on what's real and what's not. Now, I do think we've hit peak on that, because I don't think we're in 5 years' time, we're going to have more people discovering that they can use AI to be lazy. And we've already started to see the pushback by platforms. We've started to see platforms explicitly labeling AI-generated content. We've started to see YouTube demonetize AI-generated content. Social media algorithms are de-emphasizing AI-generated content. So we're starting to see the guardrails come in now. So I don't think it's going to get any worse, but I do think it's more important than ever for there to be trusted voices in the space. I do think it's more important than ever to have greater accessibility to the fundamental parts of your member journey, your customer journey, not just to demonstrate credibility, but also to, like you say, show them there is a trusted path that is human designed, that is based on real stuff, that is not hallucinated by an AI bot. And that is worth the little bit of extra friction of having to log into a website. But it's interesting you mentioned that, you know, I could put together a course on creating a membership site in 30 minutes. I think we are a year away from anyone who wants to study a course on anything going to a service, saying, like, typing in what they want to know, typing in a bit about themselves, hitting a button, and then AI generates the material, creates videos from that material, creates the downloads automatically, the resources from that material, automatically plugs it into a learning management interface that looks exactly like your course website or my membership looks like. So it's a familiar design pattern, and then utilizes AI agents to act as a tutor, to nudge, to remind, to remember, to encourage people along. But all of these components can be done already. The hard bit is done. The content generation, the formatting, the faking of a human video, of a human voice, the synthesization of a AI expert, the agentic approach to follow up, it's all possible now, especially with the introduction of AI agents with ChatGPT. It can all be done. The only bit that's missing is user interface. it's the pulling together into a user interface, and it is the mainstreaming of that. And if you think about a platform like Udemy, so we have udemy.com, which is just such a long-standing marketplace of courses and training that a lot of people have been selling. I've never read their privacy policy, but I don't know if there's anything there or in the T's and C's that would prevent them from feeding an AI bot, an LLM, on all of the training content that has been created and put on their platform, so that in a year's time, 2 years time, Udemy is no longer a marketplace of human-generated courses. It's a marketplace for your course on demand. Personalized, tailored courses to your needs, presented the same way that the human-generated courses were, costing less because you don't have to worry about paying people, and delivered instantly to your specification. That is not an AI challenge anymore. That is purely someone having the idea. I'd be astounded if someone's not already thought of that, because I'm not smart enough to be the only person who's thought of it. It's having the idea and pulling the trigger on it. And it is a user interface challenge that's left. And user interface is easy. It's a lot easier than figuring out how to make AI do all of this stuff. It can do all the pieces already. I don't think we're too far from seeing that realized.
Just listening to that, I was
scared anyone selling courses, by the way.
Well, you say that. However, you remember when Wix and Weebly and Squarespace came along? I think you and I both used to work in the web design industry. And the whole industry thought the sky was falling down when these tools came along. What do you mean muggles can go and build their own websites? This is terrible. When what actually happened was the bottom of the market started to play where they never played before. And people like you and I would suddenly be faced with discerning buyers who knew what they wanted. Yeah. They appreciated the good value premium product, where prior to that, they resented spending the money. And I think we'll probably get to the same point, that those who don't want to pay won't pay.
Maybe some more of those will actually manage to do something with the dross that AI gives them. But yeah, I do think you are right with that. I think what that then means is you need to be differentiated. And that is where the human element, that's where the becoming that trusted voice comes in. Because if you are indiscernible, if you cannot be separated from an AI course, right now, one of the main inconveniences of going to ChatGPT and say, create me a course and a membership, is that it's just going to spit it out as this huge long wall of text, and that's just not conducive to learning. The closer that the simulated experience becomes to the human one, the more important it is for you to separate yourself from that. And the recognition that content is so over-commoditized now, you need something else about you. You need the human part. You need to show up. You need to have built that trust in the way in which you go about your business. And you need to integrate community and personalization into the learning experience itself.
So I'm going to, there's one aspect, I think, of AI that people don't fully appreciate, which is, you remember when the internet came along?
Oh, sadly.
And suddenly you had people who were internet specialists and experts in the internet. And we're in a similar place at the moment with AI.
Yeah.
But it's very quickly, A, going to become ubiquitous. It's in everything. Mm-hmm. But B, at the moment, there are AI products that can get away with charging $200-$300 a month, much more than that. But because it's going to become ubiquitous, and there's very little other than generating the models themselves and hosting them, there's very little, I don't even know how to express this. There's very low barriers to entry with fairly complex tools. So it's going to be very difficult for anybody to really monetize AI in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
And what that will mean is it's everywhere in everything, which means the playing field is suddenly leveled again.
Yeah, it's kind of like, now, do you remember when Web 2.0 was a thing? Where, anything that had any sort of interactivity was referred to as Web 2.0, because for the younger of your listeners, like, the internet used to be one way. The internet was very one way. Websites were static. You consumed websites, broadcasted. The internet was a broadcast tool. And it was only when it started to shift towards a communication tool. And that was termed Web 2.0. And Web 2.0 had a look. Do you remember? I don't know if you have client briefs, kind of like, can you have Web 2.0 style buttons? They always had a gloss. They always had a drop shadow. Everything was 3D. But that, a bit like you were saying about the ubiquity of AI, you did have that period where websites would proclaim themselves Web 2.0 compatible. Like, it was a badge. It was a label. It meant nothing. There was no such thing as Web 2.0. It was just a shorthand, and then it became a gimmick. And I can see that happening with AI when it just becomes so standardized and so normalized and everything. And again, of course, that then, you know, it becomes the norm. If you go to a site like Udemy and it's not a big flashy thing that's promoted, you just kind of go in, okay, do you want to... There's a category of AI courses, and there's courses by AI tutors or courses by people. Like, choose your tutor. So I think AI itself is no longer going to be the thing that you monetize. It's an interesting one, particularly with things like, if that come across the term vibe coding, which seems to be a big thing now. It's just interesting kind of things happening again in that kind of low barrier to entry point, but also the kind of bottom end of the market that don't want to pay for stuff. And I do wonder if they'll just end up feeding each other, whether the people with the low skill set, really, who are using AI tools to do things that otherwise were only ever possible for people with a larger toolkit, but whether the type of things they're creating are only ever going to serve that bottom end of the market who were never really going to be seriously investing in good training, good services, stuff like that.
Yeah. I think they will establish a need. Mm. They go right for minimum viable products. Mm. But the analogy that I've been thinking about quite a lot is power tools.
Mm.
Power tools give the average person like me the ability to make a real mess. And sometimes they can get a job done well. But you put them in the hands of a craftsman, they're a point of leverage. They're a force multiplier.
Yeah.
And I think this is the distinction. Is there are people in membership spaces who are craftsmen.
Mm-hmm.
Give them AI tools, they will do better work more quickly, more efficiently, and they'll serve bigger and better. Put them in the hands of somebody who's not a craftsman,
mm-hmm.
they'll hack about, they'll make a bit of a mess, and sometimes they'll get lucky.
Yeah. And I suppose what my intent is with the membership roadmap is to create craftsmen, if you want to put it like that. Is actually, exactly. I'm teaching you the way to do this. And it's not a way that is a shortcut. Like, there are no shortcuts. There's no magic bullet, no secret formula. There's no, hey, come and join this course and you'll learn the three precise Instagram caption templates that are behind my multi-million dollar, because that's nothing. That is something that is sadly perpetuated a little too much in the online space. So yeah, my membership roadmap is helping people become craftsmen with their membership. And that does serve me. Yes, there is a whole wave of altruism for me with this membership roadmap. I think that's been the hardest part in talking about and promoting it, because people get suspicious of a genuinely altruistic act in the online space because it doesn't happen often. But of course, there's a selfish thread in everything. My selfish thread is I get fulfillment from working with a certain type of person, from working with a certain type of membership. And that has always been such a huge driver for me. Even back in my agency days, I reached a point where I stopped trying to pitch myself to clients and I started making them pitch themselves to me. Some of that was a tiny little bit of ego. Some of that was because we've become so oversubscribed in a very specific niche that I could. But a lot of it is just because I get such a kick out of working with a particular type of person. I like your terminology. I like working with craftsmen because I can do more with them. We can get together, you know, that thing, you want to build a house, you want the whole squad there to be craftsmen, because you're going to do incredible work together. And yeah, I want to create more craftsmen because then I know that I can help them more and I can get them to their fifth year, their 10th year, their 15th year, and we'll have a hell of a lot of fun doing it.
So there's another aspect which you mentioned, which was connection.
Mm.
And obviously in the membership roadmap,
mm.
there is a community aspect in as much as there's a Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I used to be a client of yours.
Mm.
One of the things I really appreciated was there are many people who provide courses which are information,
mm-hmm.
but it's a little bit like, I want to learn to play tennis. I will read a book about playing tennis and then I will go and play tennis. But the coach is never watching.
Yeah.
And when you know your coach is watching and he's listening to and he's answering your questions, you feel seen.
Mm.
Additionally, you're in an environment where you can ask your stupid questions of other people who are also learning to play tennis. And I'm interested to hear from you how important that is in the success of a membership.
It's pivotal for most memberships. I am going to caveat this, and I hope one of us remembers that we circle back to me saying most, because definitely is a most situation. But absolutely, the human element, again, is becoming even more important. It's always been a key factor in success for online memberships. But I think now more than ever, it's critical. And it's not just about giving people a place to talk, to ask. It is about fostering identity and belonging and really, really getting to the heart of your audience, because they want to feel seen. They want to feel like they're in the right place with their people, like they're safe. Even in the most mundane, the most, I don't want to say boring, I hate the word boring, but still boring. Like for topics for memberships that aren't ones that evoke emotion, you still want to feel comfortable. You want to feel safe to ask a question. You don't want to be judged. And you want to know that the trusted voice that you have followed is also there. And so showing up and serving your audience, I think, is such a key role of a membership owner. It's a responsibility, a duty that you take on. But also, if you've got your messaging right, your audience targeting right, that will never feel like a chore. It never, ever, my favorite parts of the job, favorite parts of what I do are the bits where I get to do live Q&As with members, or where I get to reply to member coaching messages and stuff like that. Like, because they're my people. Like, this is my squad. This is my crew. This is my team. These are people like me at different points of the same journey. So I think fostering community within your audience, not just for memberships. If you can find ways of making your members feel, your audience, your followers, your customers, feel more than just informed, then that's going to be the heart of what's going to push your business forward for years to come. You can make them feel like they belong, like they're valued, they're seen, like you've got them. You've got them covered. If they have a problem, they can come to you. So most memberships will have some form of community, not just a forum or a Facebook group, but an identity, rituals, a way of recognizing accomplishment, a way of supporting each other, a way of keeping each other accountable if that's a part of the process, the journey that they're on, what they're there for. Opportunities to actually connect in real life, to connect on calls and see each other's faces. And really that humanization of a learning experience, I think is what is going to be the differentiator we talked about with AI. I think just setting and forgetting a membership, dumping some content behind a paywall is not going to sustain you. One exception. So I don't know if I talked about this last time, but effectively we've distilled down the core reasoning for why memberships exist, what needs they serve, into what we call membership motivators. So there's four membership motivators. And Bob, I know you've enrolled on the membership roadmap yourself. You will learn all about the membership motivators in module 2. But there's four membership motivators. The first is outcome. This is behind a lot of memberships. people want to undergo a particular transformation. They want a solution to a problem. They have a destination they're looking to reach, and there's a fairly linear process that gets them there. My membership is an outcome-driven membership. You want to launch and start a membership site, and then you want that membership, you want to grow it, you want to build it into a business of substance, you want to scale that business, and then you want to evolve that empire, right? So you want growth, continuous growth, and that is a linear journey, pretty much. There's an outcome you want. That's the first and quite common membership motivator. The second is mastery. Similar to outcome, but with no real end point, where it's more about lifelong learning. It's about leveling up. It's about refining, perfecting, but you don't have an expectation of there ever being a point where you're done. Music memberships follow this a lot. You never complete guitar playing, right? But you perfect, you refine. And then you have connection-driven memberships, which are all about connection, where it's not about learning things. It is about the network effect. It's entirely about being connected, being in a space that is safe, that is nurtured, that is occupied by like-minded people, either working towards the same sort of goal, the same sort of lifestyle, or just celebrating a fandom. But it's entirely connection-based. It's not really going to be much on the content side. All of these types of memberships would typically have a strong community element to them. Of course, connection-based memberships, it is the beating heart of what they do. But community will be the accelerant. It'll be the extra, the secret sauce for an outcome or a mastery-driven membership too. But the fourth motivator is resource. So this is where it is predominantly transactional, but that transaction is repeating based on just a continuous need. But it is, you've got some stuff, I want access to that stuff. I don't need a conversation about it. We don't need to chat about it. I just want your stuff. So this is usually resources that are things which will make someone's life easier. Help them do something that they do over and over and over again, faster, better, easier, with less friction, cheaper. So a perfect example of this is a website called Teaching Packs that is from one of our long-term members, a guy called Mark Warner, fantastic guy, lives here in the UK. This is a membership site aimed at, I believe it's Key Stage 2, it may be Key Stage 3. I don't even know if we do Key Stages anymore because I'm old, but it's aimed at kind of, I think it's like primary school age kids. And what his membership offers is bundles of pre-made classroom materials, worksheets, sheets to color things in, exercises for students to do, the kind of things that most teachers are sitting at home in their evenings, on their weekends, devising and coming up with themselves in order to teach the key parts of the curriculum. And he does this for you, and he sells them in bundles, bundles that are themed, bundles that are topic-based, and he's mega successful. It's been well over 10 years of running this membership, and it's continuously growing. He doesn't need a community. Teachers do not want to spend their evening, you know, the 2 hours that you've saved them in creating their materials for next week. They don't want to then just be sitting around the campfire singing Kumbaya, right? They're busy. They're in, they're out. They are in your membership to save time, get the stuff done a bit better. And because they trust you, they rely on the quality of your material. So that's a perfect example. And actually, Mark did experiment with a community because, of course, there's so much talk about the value of community. And no one wanted it. It was an immediate ghost town because it just wasn't congruent with that membership motivator, which people are purely motivated by you as a resource. And that is perfectly fine as long as you understand that's what you are and everything aligns with it. We have both, no doubt, been in memberships that are resource-driven from our time of web development, web design, graphic design.
Yeah.
It's like Envato have an entire network of resource-based websites. It's templates, it's icons, it's fonts, it's assets that save you a little bit of time, that bring things on a little bit. And I don't need a community for that. I'll need somewhere to ask some questions for customer support, but it's not a community-driven membership. So That's the long-winded answer to the question of does every membership benefit from community? Resource-driven, not so much. But for the other membership motivators, community is going to be such a game changer.
When you're planning a community, how important is it to establish what that membership motivator is? Is there usually one?
There is usually one significant North Star. You'll have little elements of that. Of course, you know, you have an outcome-driven membership where actually people might reach the end point of that journey and they'll stick around because they just want that. They want to level up in and of themselves. But quite often there, they are staying for the community. They're not staying because they're actually getting anything tangible from it in terms of education or progress, but they'll stay for the community because they've made friendships and they like the safety of knowing that if they do have a problem, they do have a knowledge-based need, they've got that easy direct access to the people who will help them with it. But there's always an overriding membership motivator, and that is the most important thing to figure out before you do anything with the membership. So I have what I call my membership offer model. Mom, if in doubt, ask mom. That was totally accidental, by the way. And right at the heart of it is your motivator. Your motivator informs everything. Your membership motivator determines everything else. From there, that's going to help you identify essentially the segments within your member base. So if it's outcome driven, what are the key stages? What are the key milestones? You know, from early stage to progressing to a certain level of growth and so on. If it's mastery driven, typically your segments are going to be competency based, beginner, intermediate, advanced, or there might be roles within a organization that people would progress through. If it's connection based, again, that's a bit of a movable feast. It's kind of, you know, their challenges, their struggles. That's going to determine a little bit more about how your audience is kind of defined and segmented a little. But you need to know what that motivator ultimately is. And it is usually segmenting by outcome, segmenting by competency, or segmenting by topic. But that comes from your membership motivator, and so too does the framework you would then use to facilitate the ultimate thing your members want. If you are an outcome-driven membership, then you're going to need some sort of framework that delivers that outcome. Usually it'll be a linear framework, like a course, like a roadmap. But if it's mastery-based, you can't give a definitive linear roadmap to mastery. So that's when you tend to have more of a modular framework. So, you know, key pillars of XYZ, success principles. You might have a more of a matrix driven framework. Again, so all of these elements really do tie into what that membership motivator is. That understanding of that motivator informs exactly how you go about designing your membership offer to meet the needs determined by that motivator. And that feeds into your pricing, it feeds into the type of content you offer, your deliverables, feeds into the type of enrollment model you use, whether it's open or closed, and that essentially shapes what your membership looks like. But it does all start from understanding that core membership motivator.
So all of this is in the membership roadmap course. I've just been scrolling through it as you're speaking. It really does take you from, I think I might have an idea for membership, all the way through to executing and pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's lots of things within your paid membership that aren't included. We're not going to dwell on those, but there really are the bells and whistles. The meat and potatoes is this flagship roadmap course.
Yeah.
Where can people find it? Stupid question.
If you head over to membershiproadmap.com, then you can enroll for free and get started with module one right away. We'll also get an invitation to come and join our private Facebook group too. We've got about 20,000 membership owners in there. So it's a good place to ask any questions you might have along the way and also hang out with me because, you know, I pop in there and I'm around and I'll answer some questions too. But yeah, if you head to membershiproadmap.com, instant access, and you could be started on that path to having a membership site literally within seconds after finishing listening to this fantastic episode.
Well, Mike, I am looking forward to getting stuck in. Mm. Hopefully there are people at home listening or watching, depending on whether I put this on YouTube or not. I'm a bit Sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. But as always, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for that support and thank me for having me back on. And I look forward to seeing how you progress through the membership roadmap and your journey to becoming a craftsman that I am absolutely stealing, by the way.
Oh, you can have that. Right. So for you at home, that does bring us to the end of another episode. If you have enjoyed the show, I would invite you to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Additionally, if you did like this, you will love the Personal Brand Business Roadmap. It's everything you need to start, scale, or fix your personal brand business. It's 100% free. It's a gift from me. Just visit amplifyme.agency/roadmap or click the link in the show notes and you'll find the membership roadmap in there too. Thanks at home for listening. And Mike, once again, thank you for your time.
My absolute pleasure, Bob.